Good morning and welcome to Perspectives, a public affairs program produced by Midwest Communications of Holland. In the 1450 WHTC newsroom, I'm News Director Gary Stevens.
We're talking with Congressman Fred Upton. It is somewhat ironic that we have a meningitis situation where the FDA hasn't approved a certain vaccine that could help people, I believe was at Princeton, and yet a drug safety bill was passed by the Senate that you had sponsored based on a last meningitis outbreak dealing with that Massachusetts situation. I just find that ironic timing on this thing.
Well, yeah, and you'll remember that that was a compounding issue. It was a Massachusetts pharmacy that was very flawed. And we had a number of deaths not only in our district but in our state, and nearly 180 across the country. And it was a bipartisan bill. It was a bipartisan investigation. We learned from the FDA that, yes, they really did want some more authority. We had all the stakeholders in, whether it be even the community pharmacists as well as the industry itself. And we ended up with a bill that passed by, in essence, a voice vote yesterday in the Senate, pushed it through here in the House, and a very positive development. It also has a real impact on some of our local companies. At a different issue, it was combined with drug safety, and so and the ability to track down drugs that are that need to be recalled, I guess would be the best way to put it. And so certainly Perrigo, the Allegan County's largest employer, Pfizer, Southwest Michigan's largest employer, very interested, very much impacted by the legislation, and very supportive of it. We expect the president to sign the bill into law perhaps as early as next week.
All right, let's go to the other piece of legislation that right now has your name on it that is getting maybe a little bit more attention than the meningitis, and that is the Keep Your Coverage Act, for lack of a better term, involving the Affordable Care Act and keeping the health insurance plan. It cleared the House. Maybe the Senate's not going to do it anything with it. Maybe they will. The White House is already opposed to it and says that the president has veto pen out for that as well. Do you get the sense that it's just an effort of frustration and just a symbolic measure, or do you sense that perhaps this could get some traction based on what the response was in the House?
Well, I tell you, it's just so frustrating, and it's so sad. As I was home last week, and lots of events from veterans to simply even going to the grocery store, I don't think there was an event where someone didn't grab me and say, Fred, my policy got canceled. The replacement is going to be perhaps even as high as double or even triple what I was paying. I'm not getting the same benefits. The deductible is going up in the thousands of dollars. I thought I could keep my health care plan. So that's one huge issue. And, of course, the president was touting that. So were a number of my colleagues when they passed this 3 years ago. They said if you liked your health care plan, you could keep it. And yet we're finding that that's not the case for nearly a quarter of a million Michiganders who got notices. We're also hearing now from a number of small businesses that have small group policies that are getting those same cancellation notices. We have a hearing today that shows that, yes, senior administration officials, including the Secretary of HHS, were in fact informed as early as last spring that this thing was not ready. It wasn't being tested end to end. We have real concerns relating to the security of the information that people put into the website. And there were alarm bells that were sounded by a number of contractors dating back to last spring. That's not a good sign, knowing that we've spent hundreds of millions, we, the taxpayers, have spent hundreds of millions of dollars on this thing, and it is, so far, almost a complete bust. And a lot of explaining to do, as folks say, and we're moving forward with hearings today, and we're expecting to have Secretary Sebelius come and testify again relating to the rollout numbers the first week in December.
it just seems as if this is just a train wreck that's continuing to roll down the lines, hasn't even been stopped. Your colleague out of Pennsylvania, Tim Murphy, says a report that indicates that the administration was alerted back in April of problems with the website. Raises even more questions about what has been said to your committee and to other committees in Congress about this entire, I hate to say this, but I'll say it, fiasco.
Well, you just wonder why they decided to move ahead with this. If you're a company and you're trying to sell a product to a new product to a consumer base, the last thing you do is get a terrible perception of what that product is, and if the rollout isn't going to go smoothly, you're not going to have anybody show up at the door. And you know, what's even more stressful, of course, is that for so many Americans that were happy with their insurance, happy, you know, content with the premium and the coverage as it related to their own health needs and their own financial status, they all were sold on a bill of goods. They were sold that they could keep their plan and it would be okay. And as it turns out, it's not for literally millions of people. And there's, you know, it's more than frustration out there, that's for sure. And that's one of the reasons why my bill passed by more than 100 votes last Friday. Significant number of Democrats voted for it, including, by the way, Gary Peters, our likely Senate nominee for the U.S. Senate here in Michigan. He was at one of the 39 that voted yes. A number of Democrats were also co-sponsors of the legislation. And it is, you know, this is just, it is a mess. And it's, you know, I'm not sure how we're going to put this thing back on the right track at all based on the continuing bad stream of information that we're getting about the entire rollout, from security to folks signing up to benefit levels. And we have a whole nother phase, certainly, in just a couple weeks, and that's when people actually go to their providers, the hospital or the doctor, looking for treatment, and that provider then wanting to get paid. How is that going to work? That's a whole new element that hasn't even come into the mix yet.
Yeah, whole new can of worms there. Fred Upton, one final thing I do need to ask you about, and it concerns a little bit of what happened yesterday in Allegan, where shareholders at Perrigo concurred with shareholders of Elan, and the merger was approved by both sets of shareholders, and once all the legalities in Ireland are cleared, new Perrigo is going to be setting up shop next year with the corporate base in Ireland, but the operational headquarters and the manufacturing still in West Michigan. While the actual brick and mortar and the actual jobs are going to still stay here, the reason that new Perrigo is going to become an Irish company, the corporate tax rate, still has to be a little bit alarming. And is anything being done in Congress to try to address maybe the wide discrepancy that the U.S. corporate tax rate has with some of the other nations that are, in the case of Ireland, less than half of what is being charged by these United States?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. The United States has the highest corporate tax rate in the world. Ireland is not even a third of what the U.S. Tax rate is. And until we reform our tax code, we are not going to be more competitive, and we are going to lose more jobs and, frankly, more revenue, because it's revenue now that's not going to come to the U.S. Treasury. Instead, it's going to go to the country of Ireland. Until we change this tax code, things are going to continue on that path. And I still hold hope that Dave Camp, the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee from Michigan, has been working very diligently. He met with our leadership last week. He is still planning to go forward with tax reform. It may be a little bit delayed, and certainly the government shutdown had something to do with it. There were no winners there for sure. But I still anticipate that he's going to move forward and try to move a bill through committee sometime early next year. And one of the things that it will address is this terrible discrepancy that allows us to have the highest corporate tax rate that there is, and we start exporting jobs instead of products. That's not right. It needs to change.
And even though Joe Papa says, hey, we're not going to change anything at Perrigo, we're not moving, we're not losing things right now, it doesn't mean that the people who will succeed him are going to be bound by that same pledge. And, you know, just, if Perrigo goes, Allegan's going to be in a whole world of hurt.
Well, that's right. And I'll tell you, Perrigo has been a great community partner in so many different ways. Obviously, terrific employer that's the heartbeat of Allegan County for sure. And Joe Papa has done an excellent job as the plant operations director and president, overseeing all those different operations. Very talented man. I'm fortunate to meet with him a couple times during the course of the year. But when you see what the tax rate is overseas, and it's 10-11%, and here it's 35%, if you're going to try to stay in business and compete with companies in China and, you know, else Israel and other places around the world, the bottom line is you've got to move that headquarters, which is what they did.
The words of Congressman Fred Upton. That's Perspectives for this week. From the 1450 WHTC Newsroom, I'm Gary Stevens. Thank you very much for joining me. And listen again next Sunday at this time for more Perspectives.